are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. I'd like to welcome everybody once again to this week's episode of Beating Neuropathy. And what I'd like to do tonight is to talk about some of the advances that we've discovered with the use of certain nutritional components in the treatment of neuropathy, but most particularly diabetic neuropathy. For those of you who are following our articles on a weekly basis at neuropathydr.com, you'll know that in the last week especially, we've been spending a lot of time together discussing metabolic syndrome, or what used to be called prediabetes and is now called Syndrome X. And the reason I spend so much time on this is that there's a very, very large segment of the population that suffers from peripheral neuropathy, as you probably know. And of those patients who suffer, there's a large segment that are labeled idiopathic. Idiopathic simply means we're not sure what caused that particular patient's neuropathy. Well, as I've said time and time again, not only to my patients in the clinic and through my articles and books, but also on the air here, is that many patients who have been diagnosed with idiopathic neuropathy probably, in fact, have metabolic syndrome or prediabetes. Now, obviously, the treatment for metabolic syndrome is going to be slightly different than prediabetes, but I will tell you this, that the treatment for metabolic syndrome is very, very close to the same way we treat a patient with type 2 or non-insulin-dependent diabetes. This is not something to be playing around with. This is something you need to be working with a healthcare professional on for sure. We are absolute fanatics about making sure that blood sugars are monitored very frequently. In fact, we have our patients monitor the blood sugars 4 times per day, and in some cases even more. But the bottom line is, what I want to do tonight is to discuss some of the very, very exciting research that talks about some of the things that we now know about peripheral neuropathy, diabetic neuropathy in particular, and some things that you may be aware of in your own life, in your own diet, in your own supplementation programs, etc. And the first nutrient I want to talk about is alpha-lipoic acid. I'm referencing an article here that was published in the Review of Diabetic Studies very, very recently. And this particular article actually appeared online in February of 2010. And the title of the article is Alpha-Lipoic Acid and Diabetic Neuropathy, another really fine article. And there have been many articles that have been written about the usage of alpha-lipoic acid in diabetic patients. And the fact of the matter is that it is one nutrient that is essential to health. And when you do have diabetic neuropathy, it can help speed the healing process. Because one of the things that it's very good at is helping your body process energy more efficiently. In fact, most of the nutrients that we recommend for the treatment of peripheral neuropathy or the clinical co-treatment of peripheral neuropathy have the net effect of boosting cell energy. Remember, this is also why we use various forms of neurostim and now added low-level laser therapy and LED. The whole idea is to get the body, especially the nervous system, to utilize energy more efficiently. So alpha-lipoic acid is no exception. However, there's a couple of cautions. Number one is, personally, I don't think alpha-lipoic acid or any nutrient should be given by itself. For the simple reason is that they act synergistically, and they have additive effects. One of the things I have found in my work with peripheral neuropathy patients in the clinic is that oftentimes we're able to give patients relatively low doses of a lot of these supplements because we use combinations, and the combination nutrients really seem to produce very profound effects. The combinations are somewhat universal, but not always. And there are some contraindications that we'll talk about as we get into some of the other supplements. Not so much with alpha-lipoic acid, except the big takeaway I have for you as a patient with alpha-lipoic acid is if you are diabetic or you do suffer from metabolic syndrome or think you may, you've got to be monitoring your blood sugar very carefully, because what we have seen in our clinics especially is that when we start to administer alpha-lipoic acid to patients, along with some of the other nutrient cofactors that we commonly recommend, not only do we see patients lose significant weights. In fact, I'm reminded of one patient here in our clinic about 18 months ago who, with no other change at all, lost 12.5 pounds in 6 weeks simply by taking the supplement program that we put him on. I'm also reminded of another patient who not only lost a significant amount of weight, but also dropped her blood sugars by over 100 points and thus needed to reduce her medications. So again, this is the caveat or the buy beware, so to speak, is we don't want you to self-treat, we don't want you to self-medicate. As you start to utilize these supplements, you have to realize that they will affect certain blood parameters and they have to be monitored. And this is really key, especially if you're diabetic and you're taking medication to lower your blood sugar. The point is that as you lose body weight and as you are able to boost your metabolism, so to speak, hopefully, not always, again, this is one of the reasons that you do have to be checked professionally monitored, is that if you are able to stimulate your metabolism through the use of nutrients, you are going to reduce the necessity and the need for certain medications. And this is very, very important to know. You've got to understand that diabetic agents in particular can cause hypoglycemia or low blood sugar, which of course is their intent. But the bottom line is that your dosages may change. In fact, they probably will change as you start to take some of these nutrients. And if you're metabolic syndrome or perhaps even early type 2 diabetes, you may actually be able to get off some of these medications. Or if you lose a significant amount of body weight and increase muscle mass and have no other coexisting illnesses, what we call in the clinic comorbidities, the bottom line is you may have a very, very good outcome even if you do suffer from peripheral neuropathy. So that's something I do want you to be aware of. But one of the things that I really like as a clinician about alpha-lipoic acid is that there is very good evidence to be giving it to patients with diabetic peripheral neuropathy. Again, our caveat, if you will, is to make sure that it's always being used under some significant supervision. And by significant supervision, if you are diabetic, we suggest that you monitor your blood sugar first thing in the morning fasting, 2 hours after lunch, 2 hours after your evening meal, and then right before bed. And now some doctors might have different recommendations, but we have found that to be a really good pattern. We also strongly recommend that you chart those blood sugars. If you also have a suspicion or you've been told you have borderline blood sugars, if you can get a prescription for a glucose monitoring kit, use it. It's not a bad idea to track your blood sugar levels. Another blood value, of course, you want to take care and note is your hemoglobin A1C. Your hemoglobin A1C is a more long-term measurement of your blood sugar levels, and it really tends to tell us as your clinicians how well you're doing with your diet, how effective your supplements may be, or if they're ineffective, that as well. So again, do your home monitoring by making sure you are checking and charting your blood glucose levels, but also with regard to your hemoglobin A1C, your chief clinician should be doing this on a regular basis. And you should know your values. You know, I tell patients all the time, there are several really critical values that you want to know, especially if you have metabolic syndrome or diabetes. Number one, of course, would be your hemoglobin A1C. You should know your vitamin D levels. You should know your height, weight, and you should know your blood pressure and your BMI, your body mass index. Those are really critical numbers for patients to understand, and they really can make a huge difference in terms of your ability to help your own clinicians help you get better. So that, I think, is a very, very important point to make. The next article that I want to reference here, let's see. It's kind of an interesting article on the usage of vitamin D in type 1 diabetes. Now, keep in mind that the type 1 diabetes is what's commonly referred to as insulin-dependent diabetes. And in insulin-dependent diabetes, these particular patients, you might be one of them, need to take insulin in one form or another, sometimes a couple of different forms, to maintain relatively normal blood sugar levels. Now I say relatively because if you're diabetic or know somebody who's insulin diabetic, you know it can be a major balancing act. It can take quite a bit of time to get regulated. But one of the most interesting things in all of the nutrition research, not just limited to peripheral neuropathy, but anti-aging, heart disease, cancer, and other things, depression, I mean, you name it, the list is very, very large, is the role that this nutrient called vitamin D, vitamin D3 in particular, has in these illnesses. And the fact of the matter is that vitamin D has a very, very profound effect in these illnesses. So one of the first things that we assess in patients with peripheral neuropathy are their vitamin D levels. Now, there's some controversy over what constitutes an effective blood level of vitamin D. Some experts will say it has to be between 40 and 60 units. and some experts say it's got to be between 50 and 100. Most will agree that over 100, you are in the toxic range of vitamin D. I will also tell you that in our experience, there's a wide degree of variability, meaning we can give one patient 1,000 units of vitamin D, 1,000 international units of vitamin D, and see their vitamin D levels rise significantly in a relatively short period of time. And there are other patients who can consume the pharmacologic dosages of 50,000 units and see their vitamin D levels barely budge. So there is a wide degree of variability. I've also seen, very interestingly, some significant differences in absorption from patients taking the pharmaceutical dosages of, let's say, 50,000 units and then substituting that with simply 2,000 to 4,000 units of cholecalciferol, which is vitamin D3, in the tiny tablets that we commonly administer to our patients within the clinic. The caveat is this, is that you should know what your vitamin D level is, but if you are supplementing with vitamin D because you've been told to, your levels do need to be monitored. Now, initially, until we're sure of absorption, we will check patients sometimes as soon as 30 days after starting, but more commonly 90 days after beginning a vitamin D supplement regimen, we will check the blood levels and make sure that they have come up and that they stay in an adequate range. We also will recheck them again in another 90 days, and thereafter, I recommend they be checked a minimum twice per year. Now, part of that is because of the part of the country that we practice in the northeastern part of the country with less sunlight exposure. As you probably are aware, patients and people in general, of course, patients or people, have less exposure to sunlight, shorter days, and so on, and thus have less active vitamin D circulating, or can be. So that's the reason that we recommend that vitamin D levels be checked twice a year. But if you live in a part of the world where you get more natural light exposure year-round, significant portions of your skin are exposed, you may not be at risk of having a vitamin D deficiency like those of us who live in the north do. But anyhow, that's between yourself and your clinician, something good to know. But the reason that I thought this particular article was very interesting, and again, this one actually was published as a case report in Endocrinology, and it was published online in December of this past year, 2012. And this talks about the reversal of the symptoms of diabetic neuropathy through the correction of a vitamin D deficiency in a type 1 diabetic patient. Very, very important research, very, very important study. But my point tonight is to understand that vitamin D has a very, very profound role in so much of health, and diabetes is certainly no exception. So again, when talking with your physicians and your clinicians with regard to your peripheral neuropathy, among other critical factors, make sure that your vitamin D levels have been checked and that your vitamin D levels are in the adequate range, because it has a profound influence on your overall level of health and well-being.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must act today. Don't forget, call right now, 781-659-7989, while neuropathy analysis slots are still open. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7. Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
The next study we're going to talk about, like so many of the research studies that we reference, is actually an animal study, but it does have some significant crossover. And this particular study actually is titled Coenzyme Q10 Prevents Peripheral Neuropathy and Attenuates Neuron Loss in Mice, in a specific laboratory mice that is a type 2 diabetic model. In other words, a model mouse, if you would, in the laboratory would be a mouse that has been genetically programmed, so to speak, to be very similar to a human with type 2 diabetes. Well, the bottom line is that what this particular study found is that when these mice were given CoQ10, it actually prevented peripheral neuropathy, not only from the examination, but also in terms of the actual observation of the neurons themselves, the nerves themselves, actually showed less detriment. Now, why is this? Well, we could talk about this for hours, literally. Coenzyme Q10 is a very, very important nutrient. It's a very, very powerful nutrient. It does have a lot of functions in maintaining normal cellular respiration, so to speak, or processing of oxygen and metabolism in general. One of the things that CoQ10 actually helps to do is to serve as a protector of many, many cell membranes, which is why it's so critically important. One of the reasons that we see patients be deficient in CoQ10, there's probably three of them common. Number one is aging, just the normal consequences of getting older. Number two would be statin medications. Statin medications do tend to deplete body stores and reserves of coenzyme Q10. And the third way that we might end up with an issue with coenzyme Q10 is poor diet. You know, chronically poor diet is responsible for metabolic syndrome and probably the vast majority of cases of type 2 diabetes. And the bottom line is that supplementation, as we said at the outset of today's program, in peripheral neuropathy is a balancing act. Every patient's different, but the fact of the matter is that CoQ10, along with alpha-lipoic acid, are two of the nutrients that we oftentimes use in combination. And the reason we do that is that they do have, obviously in the clinic and now with evidence in the laboratory study, potential value, but they also have additive effects. And this is something that's really important to understand, is that everybody's different. There's this vast principle called biochemical individuality that says that we are all as different biochemically as we are with our fingerprints and other things that certainly make us and make us unique. And the bottom line is that not everybody reacts the same, which is why when we give patients certain dosages of alpha-lipoic acid, for example, or coenzyme Q10, oftentimes we're able to give lesser amounts of these because they're given in concert and they're given with some significant oversight. So again, something to keep in mind. You also should understand that there can be some interference with a lot of nutrients and drugs. So if you are taking medications, never consume your supplements at the same time you consume your medications. Never consume your supplements or your medications with things like grapefruit juice, which can influence their absorption drastically. And also make sure that whoever has prescribed these supplements for you, or if you have self-prescribed, which again we don't recommend, but if you are taking these nutrients, that you are clearly aware of all the potential drug-nutrient interactions. And once again, we see some good evidence coming out of the laboratory now, which supports what we're finding in the clinic, and that is that coenzyme Q10 supplementation is another very, very valuable nutrient for those patients who suffer from peripheral neuropathy. And I think that's really, really good news, because coenzyme Q10 is readily available. It does come in several different forms, and I know that there are some really, let's say, good arguments for using the more readily absorbed forms over others. I think it's probably more important to make sure that whatever you're consuming is fresh and make sure it's of the highest grade you possibly can get. There really is no such thing, with rare exception, as a true pharmaceutical grade dietary supplement, because they're not manufactured or regulated in the same way that prescription drugs are. But there are nutraceutical-grade supplements, which basically means they're manufactured at the highest standards. And we always look for companies that have been around for a good long period of time, have good track records, and are very, very careful about what we administer to our patients. And we certainly advise the same of yourself. One of the things that I do want to caution you on is that if you are consuming anticoagulant medication, and the most common anticoagulant medication, of course, would be Coumadin. If you're taking Coumadin, you've got to be very, very careful with these supplements, coenzyme Q10 in particular, because there can be some interference with bleeding time. What you may not even know is if you take Coumadin that even things that were once considered perfectly benign, like glucosamine, which a lot of adults, including myself, take for arthritis, find now, we do find through the research that glucosamine can also interact negatively with warfarin or Coumadin. So again, all the while you are embarking on your search for better health and you are using these various tools that we have to help you along, if you are self-administering any of these nutrients, you've got to understand the potential complications you can get yourself in if you do not do this with adequate supervision. Always, always, always check drug-nutrient interactions. You know, even as a patient, if a physician prescribes a drug for you, a really good idea to, again, not take any dietary supplements at the same time and make sure that none of the supplements you're taking can be interfering with these. There are several really good reference sites that are available on the internet. There are even good apps for mobile devices now that allow you to check drug-nutrient interactions. But for patients and even for ourselves clinically, oftentimes we'll go to WebMD in addition to some of the paid professional services that we use. I have found WebMD to be a very, very reliable source and very currently referenced, so don't be afraid to consult there as well. The last thing I'd like to discuss in tonight's show is something that we've spoken about before, we've written about extensively, and does have a lot to do with the treatment approach that we take in the peripheral neuropathy patient, and that is this particular article that came out of the journal Diabetic Medicine in May of 2011 is entitled "Vegetarian Diet Improves Insulin Resistance and Oxidative Stress Markers More Than Conventional Diet in Subjects with Type 2 Diabetes." Well, what does this mean? Basically, what this means is that consuming a plant-based diet improves your insulin resistance. In other words, insulin resistance is probably one of the major causes of metabolic syndrome and diabetes, type 2 diabetes in particular, where the cells become resistant to insulin and blood sugar is not controlled properly. And probably the least complicated way of explaining this is that the blood sugar is unable to enter the cells properly, so as a result, the circulating amounts of blood sugar tend to be high, and that's what creates peripheral neuropathy, retinopathy, and in part, and all the nasty side effects of diabetes. But what this study does say is that consuming a vegetarian-based diet does help to improve those factors significantly. The other thing that I think was particularly important, which makes a lot of sense, and you'll find that this is why we advocate the type diet that we do, is that when you consume a largely plant-based diet, you're naturally consuming more antioxidants. Antioxidants are the critical things that help prevent our cells from self-destructing in a good way. Now, let's not be too confusing here, because there is a normal part of cell destruction called apoptosis. Apoptosis is programmed cell death. Apoptosis is something that helps us from getting cancer in the first place, because some cells are programmed to die. But when we talk about protecting cell health, we're talking about maintaining things like your skin, for example, and the health of our neurons on a prolonged basis through their normal lifespan as they reside and do their work inside our bodies. So antioxidants are critical at helping to ensure not only we fight off the effects of radiation that is naturally present due to sunlight and other things in the environment, of course, but also other things that we're subjected to on a regular basis. So antioxidants are very important. Why is this important in peripheral neuropathy? Well, quite frankly, the reason it's so important in peripheral neuropathy is that we do know that many forms of peripheral neuropathy are disorders of energy or disorders of metabolism, and whatever you can do to improve the metabolic profile of yourself as the patient or myself as a clinician in a patient who sits in front of me, the bottom line is we're going to be more effective at controlling not only their peripheral neuropathy, but also helping them reach higher levels of health and well-being. So a very, very, very important subject. So again, I know we spoke about a lot tonight. We covered several topics. We spoke about the effects of coenzyme Q10 on peripheral neuropathy. We spoke about the effects of alpha-lipoic acid in diabetic neuropathy in particular, and we also just wrapped up tonight by a discussion of the vegetarian or plant-based diet and its effects on oxidative stress and also on managing insulin resistance. These are very, very important studies. This provides a lot of support for what we observe in the clinic and what we see. So until next week, I want to thank you for tuning into Beating Neuropathy. Make sure that you join us during the week at neuropathydr.com and also on Facebook. I hope to see you over on Facebook, Beating Neuropathy. Have a great rest of your evening.